This is Drayton Boylson, author of Coming Unscrooged and founder of the Rescue Institute. First of all, my sincere thanks for purchasing my book. I hope it provides the inspiration to make positive changes in your life. The great news is that you've already made a big step. Coming to our site and listening to this recording, that tells me that you've cleared the first hurdle. Even if you're just curious about this, at least you're taking the time to investigate the message. Thanks for doing so. So what did you think of Scrooge? Did you find him interesting? Did you find him a little over the top? Do you recognize anyone in that character? Anyone that you work with, have worked with, possibly even yourself? You know, one of the things that I wanted to do when I set out to write Coming Unscrooged is to really put something in parable form that certainly relates back to the Scrooge that we all know in Dickens' classic, but to make him kind of this lightning rod for the excesses and the lack of values that really are prevalent in corporations around the world today. I really feel that there's a lack of, let's call it, values-based corporate leadership. And that's really where Scrooge came from. Let's make him fantastic. Let's make him over the top. But let's get him out there so people start to see things and those they work with or possibly themselves that they really want to change. That's really the message that we deliver through the Rescue Institute. We want to have the resources available for people that see some of these tendencies that they really want to change and go back to their core values. I will share some statistics with you that are, quite frankly, very harrowing, and it really outlines the crisis that's going on in the business world worldwide, not just in the U.S. The New England Journal of Medicine in 1998 went so far as to declare that managing the long-term effects of the physiological responses to stress is critical to survival. Stress may contribute up to 85% of all medical problems. 52% of executives will die of diseases related to stress. That's partly because stress affects nearly every major system in our bodies, creating a laundry list of health problems, among them diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, allergies, asthma, and colitis. The clearest sign that there's a stress epidemic can be seen in heart disease statistics. For example, a recent study found that people who get less than 5 hours of sleep twice a week are more than 300% more susceptible to heart attacks. Their overall rate of developing heart disease doubles. How much sleep do you get? Job-related stress costs U.S. businesses $60 billion annually, while stress-related disability cases have doubled since 1981. How far have we evolved, really, from the Neanderthals? Faced with a perceived threat, our autonomic nervous system initiates lightning-fast physiological changes to allow us to flee or fight the danger. While this response was once an evolutionary lifesaver, our changed environment now renders the fight-or-flight response a potential killer. It has been estimated that the average person now faces 30 to 50 adrenaline hits a day, compared to one or two from prehistoric threats. What toll do you think that takes on your body? What's causing your stress? A survey by Pitney Bowes of some 1,200 workers from receptionists to chief executives at top companies found that employees handle an average of 204 messages a day. That's counting email, voicemail, regular mail, and memos. 204! When I worked at Dana Commercial Credit, stress used to be a big joke. When we would convene a meeting, one of us would automatically throw a big roll of Rolaids on the table. We'd offer up some Rolaids to each other, and then we would regale each other how bad our stomach problems were. We wore this as yet another badge of courage. We thought it was so funny that we were driving ourselves so hard that we were literally tearing up our stomachs. That was only part of the problem. I was having trouble sleeping, I was irritable to my family, and I started to withdraw from my friends. Does any of this sound familiar to you? The government's health white paper, Saving Lives, published in 1999, warns that people in stressful jobs with either very high demands or very little control over their work are more likely to suffer heart disease. It cites a long-running study of civil servants, which shows that women in high-demand, low-control jobs are more than 70% more likely to develop coronary disease than their counterparts in jobs with high levels of control. Men in low-control jobs are more than 50% more likely to develop heart problems than men in high-control jobs. This is not just an issue for executives. It affects hundreds and sometimes thousands of others. Spouses, relatives, children, co-workers, friends. While there's not specific data available at present, anecdotal evidence points to a divorce rate around 75% for executives. How's your marriage? Take inventory of those around you and your company. How many are still married? How many are really happily married? As you probably know, I established the Rescue Institute to help executives like yourself save yourself from the life you've created. I have a big ego like most executives and know that having someone tell me to do something is not the right approach. I won't insult you by doing so, but hopefully I will inspire you to take action that could truly save your life. I'm sure that if I didn't take the action I did, I would not be alive today. See, the first life I saved was my very own. As you know, I was in the same boat. I had no clue as to the fact that my life was unraveling, much less the whys. I would guess that similar things are going on in your life. I wish I could literally shake you up to wake you up. You and your family are at risk, and you are so busy running around like your hair's on fire that you are clueless, just like I was. Soak in these harrowing numbers. Start taking inventory of what you hold dear. Time's a-wasting. This issue is costing our nation and the world billions of dollars. Here are some examples of how stress can affect and ultimately cost an organization. They can experience increased complaints from clients, staff will become less committed, accidents may occur, staff turnover may increase, absenteeism can increase, reduction in performance by the workforce, compensation claims for stress-related illnesses. Xerox estimates it cost their company $1.5 million to replace a top executive who dies from heart disease at an early age. The average employee works 7 hours a week for no pay. That is overtime. They're not getting compensated for. Only 1 in 8 people who works long hours say they do so because they genuinely enjoy their jobs. 1/3 of employees suffer sleepless nights due to stress. More than 2 million workers say their bosses are so overworked that they don't really have time to manage their staff properly. Most managers think that working long, hard hours is unacceptable but necessary for their career. Are the long hours worth it? No. In the UK, the average work week is approximately 4 hours longer than the European community's average. But the average productivity is 25% lower. 25% lower. So work-life balance is not anti-work. It can really enhance what's going on and turn into money for businesses. Pulling long hours is not the badge of honor that it once was. It's a signal for help. You know, it took me a year to get a clue, and I don't want it to take you that long. Boy, I wish I had a coach back then. As leaders, alpha dogs, we really stink at admitting we are wrong, much less vulnerable. It's a sign of weakness, right? No, that's wrong. It took me way too much time to realize that it was just the opposite. Until I admitted that things were not perfect in Camelot, I couldn't start working on the problem. I think back to my experience. If someone, a coach, would have been with me and said, I think this is what's going on, here are some things you can work on, what do you think about this? I think it really would have accelerated my timeline, my rescue. Get a coach. Take action. Psychologist Suzanne Gubasa has spent a tremendous amount of time researching CEOs and has identified several of these personality characteristics that executives that handled stress well possessed. One trait was the ability to respond to challenge with excitement and energy to change. New situations were seen as an opportunity to learn, grow, and develop personally. Another characteristic was having a commitment to something that they felt was meaningful, be it their work, their community, family, or charity. What are you committed to? What jazzes you? Why do you get out of bed each morning? The third and critical characteristic was the sense of being in control, of being able to make decisions that make a difference and make things happen. Do you feel in control? In direct contrast, researchers have identified mental traits that increase vulnerability to stress. One is a negative mental process, including deficiency in focusing, also the habit of always focusing on the negative instead of the positive. Another mental characteristic that exacerbates stress is the habit of negative self-talk. We talk to ourselves in the neighborhood of 10,000 times a day. What are you saying to yourself? These people have low self-perception of their own abilities and underplay the role of their abilities in their success. They tend to attribute everything positive to an external factor, such as luck or another person. What does your self-talk sound like? Are you constantly beating yourself up? Here's some information on burnout. See how this hits you. In my estimation, burnout is the symptom surfacing of many other underlying causes. There are some things that will pop out that are universal. The major defining characteristic of burnout is that people can't or won't do again what they have been doing. People suffering from burnout generally have these characteristics: chronic fatigue, anger at those making demands, self-criticism for putting up with the demands, cynicism, negativity, and irritability, a sense of being besieged, and hair-triggered display of emotions. Although it's not evident from these examples, a wide range of behaviors, some of them destructive, frequently accompany these feelings. Burned-out managers may inappropriately vent anger at subordinates. It happens all the time. And family, it happens way too much there. Or withdraw even from those whose support they need most. They may wall off home and work from each other completely. I was a poster child for burnout. How about you? What would your family say about this? How about your coworkers? How many people do you know that are two different people, one at work and one at home? There's a huge disconnect with so many people on their business persona versus their home persona. This misalignment causes incredible stress. Many people who are stressed try to escape the source of pressure through illness, absenteeism, drugs, and alcohol. How do you escape? Most people will not admit that they are burned out. They don't know the signs. They don't know the symptoms. They can't see themselves. You don't really realize that you're heading down this path of destruction. But boy, others certainly do. You may show all the symptoms of being burned out, yet many times what you're really experiencing is disillusionment. And that's what happened to me. As you climb the ladder, as you make more money, as you have greater success, all of a sudden at some point you stop and you look around and go, man, this is not what I thought it would be. This is not what I envisioned success to be. Why am I not happier? I know that happened to me in a big way. You can be burned out, you can be stressed, you can be disillusioned. The point is that you need to know these are warning signs, and you need to know how to deal with them. You know, right now, I've hit you with a lot of information, and a lot of it's fairly dark and somewhat ominous. I want to make sure that we put you in a place where you feel like you can take the next step. Really, that next step is to take the rescue quiz. The rescue quiz is completely confidential. You will be the only one that sees it. But my hope is that you really take this information and do something with it. I hope it increases your level of awareness and that you are inspired to make positive changes. That's really what we're looking for. So please review the other information that we offer on the site as well. We hope that these are resources that help you along your way. Please don't wait as long as I did. Make a positive change today. We are here to help, but first you have to help yourself by taking action. Take the next step. Take the rescue quiz. Carpe diem.